This past weekend, we heard our Lord setting out his disciples two by two and equipping them only with a staff and sandals on their feet. And today we see in the gospel the disciples returning from their mission. And we learn some very interesting things about our Lord and how he wants to interact with his disciples. He tells them two things. One, to recount what happened along the way. And two, to come away and be at rest. Now, both of these things are very important, and I want to address them. The first one, in regards to reporting all that had taken place. In our Christian tradition, this is called the sharing of graces, which literally means that we share with one another what God is doing in our lives. This is absolutely essential. It's called giving testimony to how God works. Now, the Companions of Christ, who I'm a part of, every year we take an annual retreat together. And this past year, just like every other year, we take 8 days of silence, and at the end, we have this time called the sharing of graces, where we literally go around and we share what God did on our retreat with one another. And this is such a profound time, and it's very sacred, as it's amazing how differently God works in every person's soul. Just to give you a little example of what some of the brothers shared at the sharing of graces, anonymously, of course. So one of the brothers shared that during his retreat, he had this image in his heart of all these different cages and people locked inside of them, people that he knew. And the Lord told him, "I want you to let my people go." Now, what this priest discovered on retreat is that he had a lot of unforgiveness towards people in his heart. And he was keeping them locked up in his heart, and our Lord was asking him to give permission for them to be released. Wow, the power of forgiveness that we have to let people free. Then another brother said the entire week of retreat, he just imagined himself being carried in Our Lady's arms and just tenderly cared for, and how Mary was just restoring him in his priesthood. And then another brother had this meditation of Jesus in his early life when Mary and Joseph were bringing him to the temple and Simeon had offered up to God the Father Jesus. And tears began to well up in his eyes and he said, "It was at that moment that I realized as a priest, this is what I do. I offer up God to God in the Eucharist." Now, all of these three things I would have never come to on my own. And I'm richer in my spiritual life because my brothers shared these things with us. No one person in this world can experience all of God. The mystical body has been so constructed that we actually need to share with one another what God is doing in our lives, or we'll miss out what God is doing in our lives. Now, whenever we go on a trip somewhere, and maybe you've experienced this recently over these summer months, we'll oftentimes ask people, "Oh, have you traveled there before? Can you tell me what I should see?" Or you get a travel book, or you stop at the information center in the city, because you want to get as much information about the place you're visiting so you don't miss out on all the cool stuff you wouldn't normally see. Now, we do this in the natural order, right? It's because we realize that no one person can experience the entirety of the city by just walking into it. The same is true in regards to God and our Christian discipleship. No one person is going to be able to exhaust all of the riches and the wisdom of God. But we can ask one another, and we can learn from one another how vast and beautiful God is. Now again, to share another experience. Father Tony and I were recently driving back up from an event down at the Archdiocese. And as we were driving up, I, being the younger clergy, was forced to drive and he was riding. And as we were driving this road that we always took into Mound, and Father Tony's lived there for almost 6 years now, he said, "Nate, has that house always been there?" And I'm like, "Oh man, he's losing it in his old age." Poor guy. And I go, "Yeah, it's always been there." He's like, "Man, I've just never noticed." But how true this is, right? As we can go by something time and time and time again, and then finally we ride instead of drive, and we're like, was that always there? I never noticed that before. So often in life, we miss things, and we need other people to figure out what we've actually driven right by all along. No one person is capable, again, of experiencing all of God. This past weekend, as I processed out of Mass and to greet the people after Mass at St. Joseph Church, There's a woman who was sharing with several people her experience at the relic event when Father Carlos came in and had brought all of the relics of all the different saints. And she was sharing quite freely with people that she wasn't able to come to the one at our parish, and so she had tracked him down and found one at a neighboring parish. And she said, "Father, the weirdest thing happened." She said, "My husband and I were walking around, and we just saw this little girl, and she had a kind of a veil on, and she was wearing a white shirt and a black blouse, and she was going around touching all of the relics with the rosary. And it was like no one else noticed her. So we went up to her and said, who are you?" And she said, "I'm Maria." And then they kind of looked at each other and they looked back and she was gone. She said, "Father, that was so weird that I had to email Father Carlos. And I talked to him on the phone and I said, 'Here's what happened. Am I going nuts?' And he said, 'Actually, a lot of people at the events have articulated what you did. That they saw a little girl in a white shirt, black blouse, touching the relics with a rosary. And it was Maria Goretti.'" And so as this woman was sharing so freely her testimony of the relic event, what I could see happening in other people's eyes is their own powerful encounter of the lives of the saints at that event became more and more real. Had she not shared this, there would have been a deficit of grace. But because she took the courage to share her testimony, more people were blessed. These sorts of things make God very real in our lives. Now, our spiritual lives are usually something that we keep under lock and key because it is so personal to us. I can't tell you how many times that I'm doing marriage prep and I'm training these young couples who are about to enter into the great and vast experience of marriage about how they need to share everything in common, including their spiritual life. And so frequently these couples will be like, "Father, that's kind of personal." You know you're going to share just about everything personal in your married life together. But it triggers within me this knowledge that one of the most sacred things that we have as individuals is our relationship with God. It walks with us through our entire time of life. And so I'll give the couple a challenge. I'll say, if not every day, at least every week, ask your fiancé or your spouse, "How can I pray for you?" Because when you ask that question, you receive information you would never know. And one of the spouses reported back to me that they tried it, and their wife was running off to work early, and they were about to head out themselves, and they said, "Okay, honey, how can I pray for you today?" She goes, "Well, I'm going to meet with my boss, and I'm really worried about my job." And he goes, "What? You didn't tell me about that." Like, but this is what happens in life. As oftentimes we keep so much close to our chest and we don't share even the most intimate details of our life with those that we love the most. So at this point in the conversation with the couple, I'll say, "Okay, so now you try it. You ask me how you can pray for me." And not once to this day has any of the couples asked me. They're like terrified to ask the priest how they can pray for him. I said, "Well, let me help you. I'll ask the question to myself. Here's how you can pray for me." And I'll give them a little experience of what had happened in my life or maybe a situation in ministry that I was carrying, and I asked for their prayers for these people. And their eyes just get huge because one thing they realize, wow, Father works other days other than Sunday. But then secondly, they say, "Oh my goodness, I would have never known that about you had I not asked that question." We as Christians have incredible power to help people see that God indeed is very real. And all it takes is a simple question. How can I pray for you? When Father Tony and I and another priest were on our vacation just a couple of weeks ago, we went to Utah. And despite all of your good advice to never climb a mountain again, Father Tony and I did climb a mountain in Utah. And as we came up to one of the parts, there was this hot springs, and I'm like, "Oh, this is going to be cool." So I jumped in, and it reeked. It smelled like sulfur, and I was covered with slime, and it didn't go so well, but bucket list stuff, you know? And I have a chain that I always wear around my necks with a cross and a miraculous medal, and later on that day, I noticed that they had gotten all, like, kind of weird and gunky because of the sulfur water. So I called the jeweler in that Utah town that we were staying in, and I said, "Hey, can you fix this? I kind of messed it up." He's like, "Oh, we get people all the time who do that. Yeah, just bring it down." And so they dipped it in their magic water, and it came out all good and pretty again. And I said, how much do I owe you?" She goes, "Oh, it happens all the time. Don't worry about it. You don't notice a thing." And I said, "Well, I'm a Catholic priest. How can I pray for you?" And the woman stepped back like I had slapped her across the face. And she goes, I don't know what to say. And I said, well, is there anyone in your life that you'd like me to pray for? And tears started to roll down her face, and she said, my niece is very sick with cancer. Can you please pray for her? And what I realized at that moment is this woman of 50 years of life had never once been asked, how can I pray for you? And I guarantee you she had interacted with many Christians before that one moment. Again, my brothers and sisters, we are to be a gift and a blessing to this world. And we have a powerful connection with God as Christians. And it is our role to invite people to entrust their prayers to us and for us to commend them to the care of God. Now, that's just the first part of what Jesus asks his disciples to do. Recount what happened along the journey. Share your experience of God with one another. And the second is just important, to come away and rest with him. We Americans forget that there is 7 days to creation. As God created and made in 6 days, and on the seventh he rested. And I think sometimes we like to think that we're better than God, that we don't need to rest. No, we can just keep working and working and working. Imagine all the cool stuff God could have made on the seventh day, but he took it off. Come on. Well, the same is true for us. Imagine all the amazing things we could do if we worked nonstop 7 days a week. I bet we could do some crazy cool stuff. But we're made in the image and likeness of God. And unless we think that we are better and superior to God, we better take some time to rest. Because here's what gets sacrificed when we don't. We miss God moving in our lives. Because our life becomes so full of stuff that God's actions and interactions with us just blend in with one more thing. If we want to actually have something to articulate and share with others of how we've encountered God in our life, it means that we have to pause and see how he is present. Again, just a couple of weeks ago when I was coming back from vacation, and there was a lot that was waiting for me, and I was digging out of this stuff, and I'm like telling myself, okay, just keep pushing, Nate, just keep pushing. Monday, your day off is coming, keep pushing. And remember, it was Saturday afternoon, and I stopped and paused as I was prepping my homily for the weekend. And I go, okay, God, where are you this week? I just feel like exhausted. And I just took a moment to calm myself down, to go to that silent place, and immediately an image came to me. And I looked like a really old man, older than I am. And I just saw our Lord very youthful next to us, and he had his hand underneath my shoulder, and he was supporting me up. And he just said to my heart, Nate, I've been walking with you all week, but this is the first time you actually acknowledged I was here with you. If you would have just let me support you, it would have been a much different week than just having to get through until Monday. These moments of our pausing change everything. And the thing is when we encounter God through these moments of pausing in prayer, we have something that we can share with others of how God is moving in our lives. So my brothers and sisters, the Lord gives us today, and please God tomorrow as well, to try this stuff out. Just like all things in life, we will not know if it's worth integrating into our lives unless we take the chance to try something new. So today, take a gamble and ask someone you know or someone you don't know, how can I pray for you? And don't hesitate to share with them how they can pray for you. And then sometime today, take some time to pray, some time to rest and come away with our Lord, and to see how God is present in your life, where you may have missed him before, so that you will have something to recount and share when you meet the next Christian along the journey.